to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I'm coming at you from Sedona, Arizona, where if this sounds not great, it's because I left a dongle back in Los Angeles, and now I'm recording this on my phone. Listen, things happen. The year is ending. It's a miracle we all made it this far. I'm just doing my best. Hopefully it'll sound good with those sweet sounds of Jeff Fox just, I was going to say tickling the ivories, but that's piano. I don't know what he does to make this podcast sound great, but whatever Jeff does, it's magic, and we appreciate him. I'm a few days into a holiday road trip, which in these times means modifying itineraries, eating a lot of room service, and watching things like Tag on ESPN2, which is freakishly good. Who knew? My husband turned on the TV and Tag was on, and then 3 hours later we had seen way too much of it. Now, we're driving the long way to visit my in-laws because I've never seen the Grand Canyon, but do not fret, we are staying safe, and I wish you and your family a safe and festive holiday gathering as well. No matter if that means traveling, or staying put, or simply basking in the glow of your ornament-covered tree with your pets, or your cat, or just your dog, or your fish, or your turtles, or your partner, or your kids, or whomever you live with. This will be the final episode of the year, so I, of course, must bid a ceremonial adieu to Shreksember, our annual offering to our Swamp King, DreamWorks' Shrek. We're 2 seasons in on it, and Universal has not budged with inclusion. Really doesn't even seem to be a thought in their mind, let alone a priority. But I know they know we're begging for it. And so I plan to keep on beating that drum and leading the charge each and every year until we get our debatably Jewish ogre in a Hanukkah sweater or a visible equivalent within the parks. I thank you, though, as always, for being a part of this wacky space and allowing me to dedicate December to a singular dive into all things Shrek. There are so many stories that I still have to tell, but I guess that's what 2022 is for. Today's episode, however, is a year in review. This was our first full calendar year of the podcast being in existence, and I wanted to compile my favorite bits and some of our best episodes of the year and tell you some extra stories behind each of them. So, with no further ado, here is our year in review. Yes, I mispronounced adieu, but it rhymes, so we're keeping it. Stick around like leftovers in your family fridge for these tidbits that are carefully selected and even better the second time around, like finding a real moist piece of turkey that you thought the family already ate. Stick around. This one's a good one. And thank you for everything in 2021.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com. Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Back in May, we spoke to comedian, actor, and the only reason I know the Rams are a football team in Los Angeles, Taron frickin' Killam. When you interview people in entertainment about something other than their projects or daily work, it can sometimes go awry. Not so much with Taron, because this dude is one of us, and it was readily apparent throughout the entire interview. Now, he may be one of us, that is true, but we are definitely not one of him. Married to an Avenger, writing Star Wars parody sketches starring Adam Driver that have been seen nearly 60 million times, and as you'll hear in this next snippet, attending special, exclusive events in Disneyland. Well, Actually, he may have gotten into the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opening at Disneyland, but he definitely was just like one of us once he stepped inside Black Spire Outpost. Here's Taryn recapping every step of that fateful night.
I have asked my reps, this is like showbiz talk now, but I've asked my representation for like quote unquote favors for only two things. Truly, in my whole life. One was to help me get season tickets to the Rams when they moved back to LA, because I love football and promised myself when LA got a team, I was going all in. So I said, connect me to who I need to, and they did, and that was great. The only other thing was like, if I'm not at an early opening of Star Wars Land, because if there's only one thing I love more than Disney or Rams, and that's Star Wars, is number one for me, always has been.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, like, you can't see, but over my shoulders, these cabinets, I'm in the middle of cleaning my toys. and it's 85% Star Wars stuff behind me in these cabinets. And so I said, if you can't get me into the early, I'll retire. I'm quitting the business. Everything I've ever accomplished in this business has been to get into Star Wars opening. And so it worked that by the time we showed up, like, Kobe and I went early and just walked around because we were passport holders already. And then we showed up. We were like the first ones in line. Like, they're like, show up at 5:00. And we were there at like 4:37. And they come out and they're like, we're very happy to have you. We hear you're very excited about this. And I said, I'm sorry if you've been annoyed by people reaching out on my behalf, but I've literally called in every favor to make sure I get here. And they're like, oh, yes, we've heard you're excited. So they take us from there. They take us to sort of the dream suite. I forget the official name of it, but above Pirates.
Yeah, and now it's 21 Royal.
21 Royal, exactly. So they take us in there and they give us the little tour and they show us the goodnight kisses and the magical moments in each room. And like Brie Larson's there and I hadn't seen her since she'd hosted. So I was like, hey, how cool is this? Because she's, I think, an even bigger Star Wars fan than me, which I didn't know until that moment. And so we're hanging out there and then they say it's time. And we go in, and just the process of walking through that archway from Frontierland into Batuu was just like everything I wanted it to be and more. And Kobe just kind of laughed and stood back like 15 to 20 feet from me, giggling, just filming me on her phone because she knew how much it meant to me. And she's like, this is cool, but she could leave it or take it. And I just did a full lap, just tears in my eye. Like, it's real. Star Wars is now real, fully real. And then they say, okay, we have a little holding area, which is like around the podcast engine restaurant. There's a little sitting area and they're like, you know, holding area there. And so we go in and I saw a couple people I knew, but I was just in that place where like, it's such a special moment. You want to absorb it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. So I sat by myself in a booth and just kind of sipped my blue milk, which, you know, I'm not in love with it, if I'm being honest.
Oh, I have a strong rule that I don't eat blue foods.
And sure, great.
I gotta say, it lives up with the milk.
Even berries.
Oh, a theme park blue. Like, we're
Understood.
Talking like a heavy
dyed
dye.
Blue. Yes. Okay. Understood. I respect that. Yeah, I was like, it's just a little too bubblegummy for me. I don't know. It's that artificial thing. I'm glad to do it, but literally give me milk with blue food coloring because that's what I've always imagined and made at home. So I'm sitting there by myself. And a representative from my Lucasfilm, I guess, walks up. And if you ever watched anything that I or Bobby Moynihan did on SNL, we tried to get a Star Wars sketch in, I think, once a month. I mean, it was too much where Lauren was just like, not again. But we were also like on the show in a time where Star Wars was coming back and they're doing, you know, The Force Awakens. So there was justification for it, but we probably did too much. So a guy comes over and he goes, hi, Taryn, I'm so-and-so from Lucasfilm, and I know what a fan you are. Would you like to meet Mark Hamill? And I'm just like, get the frick at it. No way. And I like, I would not have approached, but because I was in, I was like, of course.
Yes.
Of course. And for my birthday a year before, a friend had put together a birthday message from Mark did, which was so generous, so kind. So there was something to at least like say other than like me like Star Wars. And so I approached and like and his kids were there who were really nice and we kind of know people in common. So like I tried to be as normal human as possible, not immediately explaining that like since I was in diapers, I would like play lightsaber battles from Empire Strikes Back with my older sister. Like one of the first sentences I learned to say was, "That's not true. That's impossible." You know, like I played it cool. We're peers. We're buds. What's going on, man? How weird is this? Like, I think like once I like shook his hand, like, "Hey, thank you so much." And I said, "Thank you for that video message. It meant so much to me and how cool." And I tried to play like, how weird is it for you to be here? Like in my mind, you can flash back to like Mark at 21 going like, "I got to find parking for the stupid audition for some space movie." And now you're here. You're here in 14 acres of Disneyland dedicated to creating this, you know, like extraplanetary world. He's like, "It's, you know, I never get used to it. There's always something new." And literally as he's like being very kind of talking, he looks down and he sees my shoes and I'm wearing Star Wars shoes with his face on them.
What do you mean? Like a little painting of his face?
They're Vans shoes painting with like the OG, like start like him with the stormtrooper blaster, like, you know, front and center. And he looks down, and he goes, "Nice shoes." And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a fan."
All the shoes to wear, it's like the one with the biggest canvas for his face.
And I'm too deep into the day to have even like put that together before approaching him to like cross my feet or stand pigeon toed or whatever. So that was hilarious. And he could not have been nicer. And then I walk back to my table and now Kobe's talking to Kevin Feige, who she knows because she's done all the, and he's literally in the process of telling her, he's like, "Hey, so remember all that stuff you filmed for Spider-Man? We're doing a tag where it turns out you're a Skrull." And Kobe's just like, "Okay, cool. What is that?" And I'm like, "Kobe, stop, you're embarrassing me." And so like I end up, they bring us in, and so I end up standing next to Kevin Feige and Peyton Reed, who are just nerding out and telling me like the coolest things that they own in their Star Wars collection, which are deep. Like Kevin owns a cookie mold from Pepperidge Farm that they own. You know, there's only like three of these metal molds to make Star Wars cookies from 1978. So amazing. I'm nerding out, and it's like those guys on one side and then like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar standing 10 feet away. I'm just like, what is tonight? What is this? And then, by the way, you're going to regret having me on this because obviously I can talk about Disneyland forever.
This is the best, so far the best half hour I've had this year. Like okay. This is, because on my end, like the only stuff that my listeners have heard so far is us being like, "Yeah, like we had a few cocktails and then we went to write a story about sabers." Like is a whole different side.
Okay, good. But just, you know, say like "Permanece ser sentavas, por favor," or something to like get me to stop and sit down. But
never.
So as you know, like, because you were there, you know, Iger comes out and he's reading from the teleprompter and it's like, that's cool. And we already know George is there. Like I met George's son Jet that night, who's like the nicest man in the world and actually loves it too. Like, I'm kind of like, are you over this? Are you like, in the same way I was talking about my kids and my passion for Disney, like, and he's like, yeah. he loves it too. And he's on board. So that was exciting. And George comes out and then Mark comes out and then Billy Dee Williams comes out. And that was like, whoa, because I didn't know that. And then, you know, it's a little bit spoiled because you can read the teleprompter. But Iger's like, he's not an actor. So he's like, "Hey, start her up, Chewie." And they have a Chewbacca in the cockpit. And he goes, and you hear the engines die down. And then I see the spoiler and he goes like, "Oh, no, Chewie." Iger's like, "Does anybody know how to fly a Millennium Falcon?" And you just hear from off stage like, "I got it." And Harrison Ford walks out and everybody's losing their GD minds. And he's there kind of begrudgingly, but he's being, you know, in that sort of like sourpuss Harrison Ford way. But it's just undeniably cool. And he's like, hey, all right. And he walks over to the Millennium Falcon and like, now I'm just like, I got to take in every moment. So I'm looking between the stage and the teleprompter. And like, I start to get emotional because I see they're going to do a tribute to Peter Mayhew, who had passed away, I think, the week before. And I'm like, oh, man. And so Harrison walks over to the Millennium Falcon and he raises a fist to like pound on it. But clearly they'd not rehearsed it or something, because he turns and he goes, Peter, and then he raises a fist. But whoever's in charge of the lighting and sound cue thinks that that's the visual cue and hits play. So like before he can even hit the Millennium Falcon, it powers up. He goes, Peter, and over this loud light effect sound cue, poor Harrison has to go, this one's for you. And punches the Millennium Falcon, but it's like too late. Everybody's losing their mind. So this wonderful tribute, I watched it back like on the video, and it doesn't look as like poorly. You can, because obviously Harrison's mic'd, but he's in watching it live. He's like, Peter, and everybody's losing their mind. And then they like usher them off the stage, and we're standing pretty close to the entrance for Smuggler's Run. But so is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So everybody's funnel, like every important person to Disney, Lucasfilm, everything, and then me, are standing in this bottleneck trying to get in. Like Kevin Feige is getting crushed between like Peyton Reed and Brie Larson. But they open it up and we get to ride it. It's so awesome. The only like extracurricular that I'd pledged to do is like this lightsaber build, because it had been built up so much. I was like, I have to build a lightsaber. We come off, our like guide who's looking out for us approaches and like, how was it? I'm like, I just flew the Millennium Falcon. Holy cow, that was the best. And they say, well, because we know what a fan you are and how important this is to you, we would like to invite you to Club 33 for an intimate after party. And Kobe turns to me to gauge my reaction. And I'm just like too overwhelmed at this point that I go, I go, oh man, can I build a lightsaber first? And the cast member had to go, yeah, there's a little bit of weight. I really think you should take them up on the 33 invite. The lightsabers will be here, Taryn. So I go, okay. And they're like, if you want, we can do a quick lap around the stores. And I go, yes. So we have our guide, then like one of the heads of guest relations is there too to facilitate this incredible 33. I've never been to 33. I can't believe I'm even getting to step inside. But my mind is still, because Star Wars is number one, like I have to capitalize on this opportunity. So there's three Disney employees following us around as I'm loading up shopping bags of Tatooine swamp frogs and like Jedi robes and Black Spire t-shirts. And they're like, so are you ready to go to Club 33 now? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I have a problem. And they walk us in, and it was insane, because they walk Kobe and I in, and we are literally the only ones there in 33, because 33's hours have closed down by this point. We're the only ones inside. So they like walk us around, give us a tour. They give us little towelettes to wipe our hands in. And we go in the dining room, and the dining room's the same, but this is after they'd done the remodel. So the entrance was different, and the kitchen they'd moved into where the lounge, you know, the waiting room, the hunting room, or the trophy room is what it was called. And they walk us into the Salon Nouveau, which still is like where it's at. It's the only, even if you can go for the dining, the meals are great. It's good quality food. It's overwhelming. You won't be able to finish everything, but the Salon Nouveau is where it's at. And we walk in there, we're the only ones there, and we sit at the bar, and we're just talking to every bartender, every employee, like, how lucky are you that you get to be here? And they can just tell, like, me in particular, that I'm a spaz, and so they're humoring me.
Well, you must have been at, like, 14 out of 10. You must have been just rolling in there with deep energy.
I literally, like, am, like, pulling out handcuffs and chaining myself, because I'm like, you'll never take me out if you're alive, you know? And it's just Kobe and I, and like, it's my first ever adult cocktail on Disneyland property. It's so, it's surreal upon surreal upon surreal. And we are, I'm not exaggerating, we're the only two people there who are not employees. And so we're like, how cool is this? And everybody's so kind. And I'm already like, how do people become members? How do I do it? Like, I turned into Bobcat Goldthwait, like, I'd really like to know. And then we're there, and what we quickly understand is that they've done us a favor. And like, so at this point, both Kobe and I are on ABC shows, and Kobe is a part of the Marvel family. And so like, it's not completely unearned, but we also certainly feel like how are unworthy in that moment. And what it is, the reason 33 stayed open is that Disney Communications, not Disneyland, not Disney World, but Disney Corporate Communications kept it open for their team, who have organized the opening of this Star Wars galaxy and all the publicity and all of the food, all of the they organized the event, are holding their party there. And Kobe and I are just huddled at the bar, and they're having cocktails, they're congratulating each other, and they're like, you know, this is their victory lap. And we've had the place to ourselves for about 30 minutes, and we're already like on our third cocktail and just can't believe it. And the head of guest relations, who helped facilitate this, walks over and she's like, we just want to check in how you're doing. Do you think that maybe you would need a hotel room here tonight to stay? Because, and then Kobe and I look at each other like, okay, we are invaders. They're worried that we're going to drink ourselves silly. Yes. And that we're going to crash.
You've
on the
crossed
drive home
the line into a potential liability.
This is too bad. Yeah. Okay. There we see the red light. So we say thank you. And we say, we're going to actually, well, no, this is our last. And we cannot thank you enough. This is amazing. And now the park is completely closed. It's totally empty. So we walk from New Orleans Square through the park down Main Street with no, like, we saw a couple power washers already out spraying down the streets and sidewalks. And it was like, we've done Disney. It will not get better than this.
We actually spoke to a lot of celebrities this year on Very Amusing. I mean, Malcolm Gladwell came on the show. What? I still cannot believe that they emailed me. They emailed me. Malcolm Gladwell. Okay, I can't keep doing that. But none of them hold a candle to this one very special guest. My main gal.
Hello, Carly.
Miss Piggy. This was something I'd always dreamed of, but never thought could actually happen until I did one thing that changed the course of history for me. I went to see Waterworld. Yes, the day that Universal Studios Hollywood restaged their stunt show that has stood the test of time, by the way. It is still fabulous. I hopped in my car and scurried over to the park. And basically, because of that, Miss Piggy came on Very Amusing. Allow me to explain. I drove there as safely, but as fast as I could, and scurried into the park, only to find out that the Waterworld audience was completely full, and I missed my chance at seeing it in a matter of moments, until, da-da-da-da, I DM'd fellow reporter Chris Hayner, who had the same MO, and he graciously came out to get me so that I could sit with him and catch the Universal Studios Hollywood show Grand Return together. A hero! I got us a round of butterbeers afterwards, which, by the way, was the only time in my life that Hogshead Inn felt like a real pub. Just meeting up with a friend, getting a drink. The park had recently reopened. It was empty. And we just got to chill at one of those huge wooden round booths and chat for hours, if I'm remembering it correctly. During which he told me that when Muppets do projects, they often have a media day with them on Zoom. And a light bulb went off in my head. A crushingly large light bulb. I had no idea this happened. I had no clue. It could be done. I could maybe talk to a Muppet. And lo and behold, thanks to a theme park project giving me a reason to have a Muppet standalone episode, I was able to enthusiastically ask and ask again and keep asking and keep reminding and asking about getting Miss Piggy on the show. It was a real sliding doors situation for me, thanks to getting a round of butterbeers with Chris, whom without I would have never known about this possibility. And oh my gosh, it is truly one of the best moments of my entire life. Here's one of my very favorite bits from our very amusing interview with the one and only Muppets Queen, Miss Piggy.
Now, in your opinion, what is the best part of Halloween?
The best part of Halloween, for some, is the costumes. For moi, it's the candy. Come on. Come on. I'm a kid at heart. And I've got a sweet tooth, or two or three. Yeah. What I love to do, though, is I love to get a bunch of candy to give out to the children. But I set aside all the chocolate. That's mama's. Mama gets the chocolate. Okay. The other candy that goes to the kids. And maybe there's like a little exchange, maybe they've got some chocolate. Maybe they want to give me their chocolate and I'll give them something.
As you mentioned earlier, the scariest part of Muppet's Haunted Mansion was when you found out you weren't going to be its only star. So when it comes down to it, woman to woman, you have the floor. Who is the true star of this film?
All right. Well, as I mentioned before, Gonzo, I guess technically is the star. He has the most screen time. However, a case could be made for moi. I have a very small part. I don't have a lot of screen time, but I make the most of it. Okay? I really do. I think they're probably going to come up with a new award category after people see moi in this special. And for best performer who should have been the star but wasn't, but is really, really good in it and steals the show anyway, I think that's exactly what they're going to call it too.
You know, it's like they say, there are no small parts, only small pig actors. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you're busy, probably walking red carpets and starring in films and...
It was my pleasure. I mean, I can't say the pleasure was all mine. It was mostly yours, but just the same.
We've covered Star Wars Galaxy's Edge from every angle possible on this podcast. And from firsthand accounts like Taryn's to deep dives into how its audio animatronics were built, one episode stands out in particular. Back in May, we welcomed prolific author and reporter Amy Ratcliffe, a true Star Wars expert, onto the pod alongside friend of the pod Scott Trowbridge, portfolio creative executive at WDI and the real captain of the SS Star Wars at Disney's theme parks, to discuss the inspiration and execution of Batuu as a whole. Scott's been on Very Amusing twice now, but I guess it likely won't be the last time, considering he's heading up Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, and I cannot wait to step back aboard that hotel ship to tell you about it firsthand next year. For now, though, we're going to bop back to one of my favorite bits of this interview with Scott and Amy, which centered around their book, The Art of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. The entirety of this interview is fascinating. There's really nothing like speaking with people who are experts on how these places got built, because they know every step of the process. And nowhere is that more apparent than in this story of Ellie. Who is Ellie, you might ask? Well, I'll leave that one up to Scott.
During the development and the Blue Sky process, we're ideating a million different things that we think would be cool and would be, you know, help bring it to life and make it a dynamic land. And one of those was this creature named Ellie, who was 26 foot long, somewhere between a giant mix between a hamster and a gerbil with tusks. A great creature, but the most friendly, lovable, huggable, giant furball you've ever seen. And so we actually started to ideate ways to bring that creature to life in the land and kind of have it lumber through the land. And we went so far as to actually develop and prototype the technology that would actually allow that to happen. The giant scale robotics that we would have do that. Ultimately, at the end of the day, as some of these great ideas, you know, they must get prioritized. And we realized, okay, if we really are driving this, if this massive creature is coming through the land, we know the land's already going to be crowded. What is that going to do to the, maybe this isn't a thing we do on opening day, which is to say, we're never done developing these things. So who knows what's going to show up in the future. But I will say, I just fell in love with that character and with Sal Ju, who's kind of her, you know, her humanoid friend. And I just, you know, in the rest of the team always made fun of me because I always felt like I carried a locket around my neck with a picture of Ellie in it. You know, and I'm like, she's coming back. She's going to, you know, we're going to tell her story. And finally, in a conversation with Amy, we kind of thought, you know what, let's do tell this story. Let's tell the story of Ellie and Sal Ju, and Amy really kind of helped bring that to life.
Yeah, equally. Just as soon as Scott and Margaret really told me about Ellie, and I, you know, I have a really soft spot for animals in real life, but creatures in Star Wars, one of my favorite areas to dig into because they're cute. They're, you know, they run the spectrum. And when I like learned about Ellie and learned about her and Sal Ju's relationship and how bonded they were, and I just fell in love too. And you can't really hug a book, but when I spot that book in my pile, I'm just like, oh, Ellie, I love you. And I got to name a creature. I got to name Ellie's creature as she's a Theri. And I, like, as someone who loves Star Wars creatures, the fact that I got to come up with a name, I was like, are you really going to let me do this? And I absolutely named Oga's Tuca cat as well and used my own cat's names to come up with the name. So all around pretty exciting for me.
Oh my God. I did not know this. That's pretty incredible that you, like, your own pet names are now canon.
Yep. Kaiska is named after Kyrie and Ahsoka.
Amy.
I was really pleased. I was like, maybe I'm just going to put this in here and we'll see if they let me keep it. And she didn't have, the Tuca cat didn't have a name yet. So I got lucky.
Wow. See, Scott, for people like us, this is very exciting. We don't get to build whole lands.
Listen, it's always exciting. Making the Star Wars is always fun and exciting.
I won't lie. I'm kind of shocked Disney was cool with us talking at length about things that didn't get made like that. It's a rarity because they know that kind of stuff is often sensationalized. But personally, especially in that context, I think it helps let listeners understand the creative process and the artistry of building an entire land. Especially when you hear about what almost made it in but did not, you can really get a grasp for what that blue sky process can be like. Another thing that shocked me, when Disney opened up the gilded door to the world of Duffy and Friends and welcomed me in to ask all my goofy questions. Welcome to Charlie Watanabe, the Force, and one of the greatest people I've ever spoken to in my life, let alone on this podcast. I'm always shocked when Disney lets me do this kind of stuff, but I was blown away when they let my Duffy dreams come true. I've made it very public that I'm obsessed with these characters and would feature them whenever they let me. I would shove them in any season, any episode, does not matter. And they actually let me twice this year. A miracle! A gift! Now, no one can describe Duffy and Friends better than Charlie, so allow me to turn it over to him for one of the greatest chats and experiences I've had to date.
In terms of the world of Duffy and Friends, I would love to know more specific details. A couple years ago, I mistakenly thought Duffy and Shelley were a couple, and then I was told that they're actually much younger. Can you tell me any details about the world they live in?
Okay, so yeah, they're young kids, little kids, and I think that's one of the most important things about Duffy and Friends, because you know, as a storyteller, it's really important that we maintain innocence and as a core element of all the stories that that we create. And so Duffy and Friends are best friends, and then they're not a boyfriend and girlfriend. And I think that's one of the reason, one big reason why they are able to love each other, and all the friends love each other. You know, beyond, you know, gender or any of the things. I mean, things that are important in our world today, the diversity and inclusion. I think Duffy and Friends really represent that.
Do they live in any particular place?
Duffy and Shelley may live in Cape Cod. Okay, Cape Cod, it's actually a fantastical place in Tokyo Disney Sea. But they live in Cape Cod, and Stella lives in New York. Or it's better to say that they are from, like, for example, Stella is from New York, Gelatin is from Mediterranean Harbor. Cookian is from Main Street, USA. And Olumel is from Hawaii. But they all often hang out together. And so a lot of the stories take place in Cape Cod because they are visiting Duffy and Shalime. I want to believe, I don't know, shall I talk about Iyashi? Iyashi is a Japanese, Japanese concept, Japanese word. That means the comfort of being cared for, relaxing, soothing, you know, all those emotions are actually comprised in this word Iyashi. And in that now Iyashi has become one of the core values of Duffy and Friends, because it seems like a lot of, especially Japanese fans, find Iyashi in Duffy and Friends because of the way that their cuteness and their fluffiness, you know, which also gives you a really nice, comforting feeling, right? But at the same time, because of who they are and how they care about each other, you know, people feel like, oh, yes, I wish I could, if I had a friend like that, that would really make me happy. You know, that makes you feel so calm and then relaxed and then like loved. And that feeling of Iyashi is so essential in any of the stories you create. And so that's probably one of the things we always try to keep and foremost in our minds. I think, as Eva said, this you know, sort of the feeling of Iyashi is needed regardless of where the world is at that particular point. Even when you're really happy, I think there's nobody's really 100% happy all the time. And then there's a wonderful sort of Chinese saying that we use in Japan too, which is basically, you know, the happiness is followed by sadness, sadness followed by happiness. Okay, so it's never, you're never happy, you're never sad, right? But there, you always have to deal with sadness that for some reason at some point. And I think Duffy and Friends can sort of strengthens or maximizes the happiness, but also attenuates or mitigates the sadness, you know? So I think the feeling of Iyashi and what Duffy and Friends bring to you would be, I think, something that's needed regardless of where you are in your life. And the Iyashi is something that I think we're all looking for regardless.
It's so interesting because I came in here ready to be like, can you explain to me why I'm so emotionally invested in these characters? Like, I barely know them. They're not my home park. I don't know why I'm obsessed with them. And then I talk to you for 5 minutes and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, there's so much thought that goes into it that I, you know, as on the consumer end, I might not really see that, but it's so baked into the product that it just exudes it, even if you don't really know why.
That's great. I mean, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because as you said, I don't think all, you know, all the Duffy and Friends fans are so deeply aware of who they are. But I really do not want to kind of take advantage of that and then just tell kind of a superficial cute stories, because first of all, I don't think that's who Duffy and Friends are. And secondly, I think the Duffy and Friends have a much bigger mission than just being cute. They are able to tell such important stories that we all need. We all need in order to become a better person, each one of us. And so that you love your friends, love people around you as well as yourself. And if we are able to do that, I think the world will become a much, much better place. And then I feel I have so much optimism and hope in Duffy and Friends in helping accomplish that goal. And I think if we lose track of that, I feel that this franchise or the Duffy and Friends are going to lose its like 95% of its value. And that's how important it is to me. And then I believe that for everyone in our team.
Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14-karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all,
is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're out here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym, so like you kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid three times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these three times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey. And here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hanna baby. Introducing a new collection, Hanna Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hanna quality for your most precious gift. Hanna Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannaanderson.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you thought I was going to include me getting my butt handed to me about Olumel, nope, not today. Even though that may have been a podcast highlight of the year for some, I physically cannot relive that moment again. It is so cringeworthy. I lived it in the interview. I relived it when I cut the interview. I relived it again when I listened to Jeff's edit. I relived it again and again when everyone heard it. And I'm done. I'm starting the new year with a clean slate with my frenemy Olumel. I'm giving it. I love him. We're all in. 2022 is a fresh start. If you want to hear, it's in our Duffy the Disney Bear episode from back in May. But until then, I am embarking on a friendship journey with that turtle. Okay? We're doing good. We're just skipping off into the sunset at Aulani. Leave me be. One of my favorite interviews of the year, besides that one, was with the only athlete I'll ever consider a friend, Robin Lopez. One of the things I always hope to discuss on this podcast, which I mentioned in previous episodes, is how silly some of these previews can be. You're in a construction boots, you're in a helmet, you're in goggles and gloves and trying to take notes since you can't record anything or have your phone on. And sometimes when you're touring something like Avengers Campus or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, you're just standing in borrowed clothes, lent shoes, staring at a mound of dirt while barraging an Imagineer on a frighteningly tight schedule, truly down to the 45 seconds, with questions thinking, it would be so funny if people could see this right now. That's why it was so amusing to me that Robin Lopez, basketball player, Stanford grad, sport twin, Robin Hood enthusiast, had a similarly silly scenario happen to him while overseas. Here's a snippet from that interview from just a few weeks ago. What's the most secret or exciting space within a Disney theme park that you've been able to visit?
I think the coolest thing I saw, this is just off the top of my head, aside from getting to go up to a bunch of the Epcot lounges, which isn't necessary, I don't know if that's secret, but the coolest thing I saw was when I was on a tour in Paris and they took us back to a room where we could actually see the Star Tours vehicles in motion.
What?
I don't know if it's... This was pre-Star Tours 2 over there. So I don't know if they've removed that room or not. But it was there. It was there when I took the tour.
That is so cool. I don't think I've ever heard that.
It was actually surprising how smooth, but how dramatically the vehicles pitched and yawed. And people can jump in and say if I'm using those words wrong, but
Feels very like Imagineering story. It feels accurate. Oh my God. Cause I've seen like barely anything, but I've never seen a ride in motion like that.
Yeah. That was really cool to witness. That's off the top of my head. That would be up there. This isn't a secret area, but I was really fortunate to tour the Shanghai Disney grounds like 2 years before opening. And I walked through show scene 7 to 10 of Pirates. And I think that's from where you see Davy Jones on the piano and when you're going through the ships. But the funny story about that is I wear sandals everywhere and I mistakenly wore sandals to a construction site.
Which is a huge no-no because you have to be in full gear.
Huge no-no. And we signed papers and everything, and they're like, you're wearing sandals. But I wear size 20, so there weren't any replacement shoes.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
I was already there, so I was walking around in sandals.
Oh, because they didn't even like wrap your feet in tape or anything. They didn't like make a shoe.
I think I had like protective... What do you wear like in hospitals when you put, what did you put on a shoe?
Oh, like those little booties?
Yeah, the little booties. I love that goes on. Those little protective booties over my sandals.
Wait, I love the idea of you, because that park is gigantic, of you shuffling through that park in like little hot, like you're taking a tour of a new house, put on little booty socks and are just sliding through.
That's exactly what it was.
Hi, Carly. This is Brittany calling from Orlando. I heard you talking about how much you loved Steven Spielberg's West Side Story on the last episode, and I wasn't sure if you were aware. That technically counts as a Shrek Simber moment because Officer Krupke in that film is played by the same actor who was the original Shrek in Shrek Musical on Broadway. So, your love of West Side Story hold up in December. Just thought I'd let you know. Love the podcast. Bye.
I'll take it. Brian D'Arcy James, bring it home. I mean, that's canon, right? An actor played Shrek. An actor was in West Side Story. Therefore, West Side Story is a Shrek-sember film. Yeah, that works for me. I'll take it. Happy Shrek-sember.
Hello, Carly. Another random midnight thought. I'm avoiding social media because I'm seeing Spider-Man tomorrow and I don't want it to get spoiled. So I'm just like scrolling through my camera roll of things that I have saved from previous encounters with social media. And I came across one of your stories from when you were in Paris of Goofy, and he's like in a purple polka dot shirt with a yellow vest and green pants. And at one point in time, you had said that you thought Goofy was, I don't know if you said he was hot or like something, but you were like, you would be down with getting with Goofy. So essentially what I'm getting at here is, why is Goofy's outfit seem like something that Harry Styles would wear to me? Does Goofy have taste? Does Goofy know how to dress? Are you onto something here? Because I think you might be. I welcome the discussion. Thank you for all you do. You're amazing. And I hope to see more from you soon. Bye.
See, this is exactly why I did not include that bit from my Robin Lopez interview in this episode. I'm never going to live this down. But then again, that's not exactly what I said. I just said that my choice was Goofy and his choice was Robin Hood. I guess, I don't know if I think, oh God, I'm not even getting into this. I'm just going to respond to your actual question, which is that, yeah, I am onto something. Goofy has style. He regularly has like the coolest shoes of Mickey in the Fab Five, I'd argue. I think his height lends himself to wear a lot of cool trousers, which is very Harry Styles-esque. I don't know if I've seen anything like Gucci adjacent on Goofy, but I know that whatever he wears, ooh, he pulls off. I mean, Mickey right now at Disneyland is wearing like a little Uniqlo style puffer jacket. It's cute. It's fine. But it's nothing like my main man Goof when he's dressed as a cowboy. He is pulling it off. Okay, I'm not helping my case either way. But yeah, thank you for recognizing that Goofy is a style icon, and I will continue to uphold that into 2022. Thank you for your call.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening, and thank you to everyone involved in the making of these episodes. I am so grateful for your time and your fantastic stories, and to everyone else for listening. We will be back next year! We are taking the month of January off to do pre-production, I guess is the word you'd use to describe it. But when you're one woman at a computer, it doesn't seem like you need a fancy camera term. So whatever you want to call it, we are taking a short break to work on things for the rest of 2022. That being said, we may be returning sooner by way of a little series at the top of the year, around February. Let's not get too wild with it, focused on Disney planning and advice and favorites and how to navigate things like Disney Genie Plus. So stay tuned. I'm still in the process of formatting it out a bit, but I did a poll on Instagram recently, and 91% of people who responded, and a good chunk of people responded, wanted something like this. And I think it's worth it. It's a really important part of how you plan your trip. Everybody who listens to this is a theme park fan and could use that type of advice. So let us know if that's something you're interested in, and we may be pursuing it. You can tweet it to me at Carly Wiesel on Twitter, leave me a comment on Instagram at Carly Wiesel, or shout it out in my Facebook group, The Foamily, at facebook.com/groups/Carly Wiesel. You can find Very Amusing wherever you get your pods. If you're on Apple, we wouldn't mind a 5-star rating. I mean, you know, it's like a little holiday present that's free from you and very appreciated by me. But you can also find us on Spotify or wherever you listen. I actually have been really enjoying the Spotify podcast format lately, so I might become more of a Spotify podcast person. TBD, anything can happen in 2022, for better or worse. This podcast was edited definitively by Jeff Fox. Have a wonderful holiday. Please stay safe and please keep testing. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, sweetheart, it's Mom. I just had my COVID shot, my booster yesterday. So if I sound crazy, that's why. Much could be any day of the week. But I wanted to tell you I just enjoyed thoroughly your Shrek Water Park episode. I am really getting upset that this is almost over. I'm enjoying it so much. I love it. I just love it. So I saw your picture on Instagram, and I saw the picture of you at the Shrek Water Park, and I can now see how massive this Shrek is. I couldn't see it, but now that I saw the picture, it's gigantic. I enjoyed listening to that Don Parson, and he's the one, I guess, who helped create the water slide that is unbelievably amazing. And I think he said it was like 7 years he was working on the Shrek water park. It's very, very cool. But when he mentioned about the vertigo-y, so I have vertigo, of course, so I could never go like up high. But if you did, you could tell me about it, but that's not for me. So I just wanted to say the woman that called in, it's catching on, the Shrek Simba thing, because she called in and had the party for Hanukkah, and she had the three movies going on in the background. We need to get invited to these kind of parties, honey. I will do a road trip with you anytime. That is so much fun. So I just want to say it's a short week because Mom is kind of tired. Great week. I love you. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye, sweetheart.